One of my guilty pleasures on Saturday when I do my laundry and kind of catch up on things is to turn to National Geographic and to watch a show named Drugs Incorporated. And you might ask, why is a priest watching a show about drugs? But I like to watch that show because it's not only because it shows how drugs are being traded or how it's being made or where it came from, but it shows the detrimental and destructive effect of drugs on the life of the person and on the life of their family. And over and over and over again, every single one of them, especially the addict, always said this: I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know how to get out of it. It had destroyed my family. It had driven away everyone whom I love. I have lost everything. And I wish this upon no one, even my worst enemy. But I don't know how to get out of it. A sound of despair, a sound of hopelessness, a sound of getting tired, being addicted to something, but yet they don't have the courage or don't have enough strength to walk away from it. And perhaps we hear those people complain and we said, yes, there's help. As long as you believe and reach out to someone, we think that we're better than them, but there are things that we look into our lives and we recognize too that there are things that we are addicted to, or there are things that are controlling us right now and we don't know how to walk away from them. And we feel helpless and they lead us into despair. And it's so easy for us to think that other people are more screwed up than me. But then I forget to look at myself and I forget to see that I have the same struggle or similar struggle like them. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to purvey to us today. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? And perhaps there are things that we chase after this world. Those are our addiction. Those are our cocaine. Those are our heroin. Those are our meth. Those are our drugs. Those are the things that we are addicted to. The things that we try to fill in our lives make us feel good momentarily, temporarily, but leave us continue to be addicted. It creates a relationship of codependency that we cannot escape from. And we all have those things. And it's easy to continue to fix on those things instead of turning to God. And unless we turn to God, unless we break free from the cycle, the vicious cycle of addiction, or whatever is still holding us back, those temporary things continue to choke the life out of us. And we will not be happy. We will always be angry. And it's easy for us to put our unhappiness, our resentment, and our frustration toward other people. But ultimately, all of that happened is because we are not happy. We let those things control us, and especially the hardest thing to get over with is ourselves. The greatest control that we need to let go or to give to God is ourselves. Think about it. I don't know about you. There are things that I want to do in this life. There are hopes, there are dreams that I sometimes entertain with. I wish that I could travel around the world and be a missionary or do this and that. Those things sound good. Those things sound nice. But they are not my vocation. They are not my calling. They are not my duty. They are not my responsibility at this time. They sound good. But to walk away from something that God had given me at this moment to care for you and to be here is to walk away like a coward. And it's easy to walk away like a coward and live my dream instead of to sanctify where God has placed me. And you too, perhaps it's easier to go out and do all these wonderful things to save the world, to make the world better. But when you go home, you have not made your home better. It's so easy to go out there and change the world or make ourselves feel good. But when we go home, when we go back to our stage of life or our state of life or our vocation, we stop living them. We stop sanctifying them. Then we really have denied the chance that God had put into our life to sanctify us, to make us holy, and to make us more loving. Mother Teresa said very clearly that love begins at home. Because especially for you who are husband or wife, who are grandparents, who are relatives, you and I have a great responsibility of living out that love so that our children will see in us what it really means to love and to give ourselves in the process of love. Do you know right now, our young people, Generation X and Millennials, do not believe in the sacrament of matrimony anymore because they have not seen it within their own home. They have not seen the self-sacrificial love that exists at home. And perhaps that's why we need to ask ourselves, how am I living my marriage? How am I living my vocation? How am I living my spousal love? Or for me, my celibate love, in where I am, with who I am, with what God has given me, so that when people look at me, people look at you, people look at us, they will say, I want what they have. I want what they have. Because what they have is unpretentious, it's real. Even though it's not perfect, but it's real. Because it comes from the heart. And that's what it means, my brothers and sisters, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow God. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow God, meaning we need to let go all of the things that we fancy about, all the things that we daydream about, all the things that really sound nice but are not inducive or productive to our growth in holiness, and to sanctify our vocation and our state of life where God had put us. So holiness, sanctification, and love begins at home, begins where you are. It begins with the heart of putting God first instead of our worldly possession, our goods, our desire, our agenda, our power, or whatever else we have put in front of God. And once we put God first, then we align every relationship, every word, every action, so that God is glorified and in living in us and through us. And there will be days, my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but there will be days that we will yell at God and cry out to God like the prophet Jeremiah, "You duped me, O Lord, but I let myself be duped." Every day, I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. And perhaps when you and I live out our Catholic faith, we might be laughed at by other people, criticized, or even looked down upon. And some days we ask ourselves, why did you allow this to happen? Or why did you allow me to marry my wife or my husband? But perhaps if God didn't dupe us in the beginning, we wouldn't be here. If God shows us all the duties and responsibilities that we need to do in our particular vocation, we wouldn't be here. I can tell you, if God would show me the loneliness and the struggle, the pains, the cross that I bear as a priest, I wouldn't be here. But he duped me in the beginning. He showed me the sweet sides of the priesthood. And he slowly changed the candy and began to give me licorice and things that are bitter. And that's perfectly fine. That's part of growing up. We cannot have candy all the time, or else all of us will be diabetic. So the life of faith too cannot be sweet all the time. If your marriage is sweet all the time, like what you have experienced during honeymoon, then you and I really haven't grown. If the priesthood is sweet all the time, then I really haven't grown. There's no happy ending. There's no Hollywood here. Because it's real. Marriage is hard. Vocation to the priesthood is hard. Vocation to the single life is hard. Because it's real. Because God is inviting us, whatever vocation we're in, we need to sanctify ourselves at that moment, at that state of life, at that vocation. And so we hear from St. Paul in the second reading today in his letter to the Romans. That's why he said, offer your bodies as the living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. What is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect. So, we need to conform our lives. And we need to offer our life, our bodies, our everything, as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to God. So if you are a wife, live out your vocation like the church who loves Christ and gives herself totally and wholeheartedly to God. If you are a husband, live your vocation as the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and pour out everything that he has for the church, for your wife, for your family. Children, we need to respect our parents, just like we need to respect the church. Even at times we don't understand why. Even at times we don't agree why. But we know that the church or our parents mean the best for us. And even if we don't understand why, we love the church and we love our parents because we know that she cares for us. And me too. When I see from you what you live in your vocation as husband and wife, it encourages me. It helps me. Because, you know, because I see in you the hope for the future of the church. Because I know that within your family, you reflect the holy family of Joseph, of Mary, and of Jesus. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. And even if God duped you and I, it's perfectly fine. We can sit there and be bitter and resentful about it, or we can choose to grow. We can choose to be holy. We can choose to sanctify ourselves. And may we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to us, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.